Well, the last few days, on Monday and Tuesday of Holy Week, we have the account of St. John's Gospel. Today, the church switches us to St. Matthew. So now we get some insights into St. Matthew's account of the betrayal of Judas and the Last Supper. So we know that Matthew tells us that Judas Iscariot went to the chief priest by himself. He snuck off. He broke away from Jesus and the apostles. And he went off to arrange a betrayal. So you see that Judas had some premeditation. He had some forethought. What was in Judas's mind and heart, we don't know. Was he just trying to have the Lord show himself and defend himself against the Sanhedrin, and against the chief priests? Like having the Lord, give the Lord an opportunity to overthrow the Romans and bring about the restoration of Israel. We don't know what was in Judas's mind and heart, but we do know that Judas had a problem with stealing and with greed and with avarice, as we saw a few days ago when St. John tells us he would steal from the apostolic purse, that he would steal the money that was supposed to be given to the poor. So we know that perhaps Judas did this out of greed to get a large sum of money. Maybe the fact that the Lord had reprimanded him and scolded him because he complained that Mary had given this beautiful perfume and poured it over his feet. Maybe that was the last straw that Judas got so upset. He said, well, I'm going to betray the Lord and I'm going to see how much money they'll give me. So he goes to the chief priest secretly and says, what are you willing to give me if I hand him over to you? Bishop Sheen comments that whenever we have that attitude of give me, then we know we're in trouble, because that's a selfish attitude. You know, what are you willing to give me if I hand him over to you? This idea of getting, materialism, of selfishness, of greed and avarice. And they said they will pay him 30 pieces of silver. If you look back in the Old Testament, that was the price of a slave. In Exodus chapter 20, if somebody bought and sold a slave, it'd be for, in those days, usually 20 pieces of silver. But of course, with inflation, it was now up to 30 pieces of silver. Remember in the Old Testament, Joseph was sold by his brothers for 20 pieces of silver. But it was the price of a slave. What was interesting is that Matthew is the only gospel writer that tells us how many pieces of silver it was. Remember, Matthew had been a tax collector. So Matthew was interested in money and in counting things. Just as every time you have a medical thing, it's always St. Luke, because he was a doctor, tells us about the bloody sweat in the Garden of Gethsemane, or tells us about the woman with the bleeding. Anytime it's a medical condition, look to Luke. Anytime you want to hear about money, look to Matthew as a former tax collector. So he tells us that this is what they paid Judas. It was blood money. Later on, when Judas realized what he had done and was filled with remorse and despair, he flung the money back into the temple, back at these chief priests. And first, they couldn't accept it back because it was blood money. So they bought it. They used it for a cemetery to bury those who died and had no one to bury them. But anyway, we have here the betrayal of Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. And isn't this the case whenever a person sins? Whenever we sin, we choose something over Christ. Especially mortal sin is a terrible thing because it's choosing whatever sin it is over Jesus. So whether it be 30 pieces of silver or whatever it is over Jesus, nothing is worth betraying Jesus for, whether it be 30 pieces of silver or whatever it is. So then they have this meal, which was similar to a Passover meal, but also completely different and completely new, had some of the similarities. But we know that it was called the Last Supper. And Jesus reclined at table with the 12. And while they were eating, Matthew tells us Jesus told everyone that one of them was going to betray him. One of the 12. And they were all deeply distressed at this. And each one began to say, surely it is not I, Lord. Again, Bishop Sheen says that no one is sure of their innocence when they're in the face of divinity. And so they said, "Surely it is not I, Lord." Again, an important detail, because one man will say, "Surely it is not I, Rabbi," and that is Judas. Remember, the Bible says, no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. So notice all the apostles say, "Surely it's not I, Lord." But Judas can't say that. He says, "Surely it is not I, Rabbi," because he can't call Christ his Lord, because he was going to betray him for 30 pieces of silver. And so they go around the table and say, "Surely it is not I, Lord." And Jesus says, "It's one of those who dips his hand into the dish with me." So it's one of the 12. It's one of my closest friends. To dip one's hand into the dish was a sign of friendship. It was sharing a common meal. And they all did this. So now the apostles knew it was going to be one of the 12. And then it comes to Judas, and he says, "Surely it's not I, Rabbi." And Jesus said to him, "You have said so." So on this Wednesday of Holy Week, we again have an account of the Lord's betrayal. And I think that what we can learn from it is, of course, this important statement that who is Jesus to us? Is he our Lord, or is he just some moral teacher, some rabbi? If Jesus is just a teacher of morality, then that's a different relationship than if Jesus is our Lord. And if he is our Lord, then he is our God, our Savior, our Messiah. He's much more than a prophet or a teacher. He truly is our Lord. And that's what we need to do to stay close to the Lord, is to acknowledge that he is King, he is Lord, and not to fall into the trap of Judas of thinking he was just a rabbi or just a teacher.